Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, all right, off we go. Here we go. All right, the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. Welcome in. Savannah, say hi. Welcome. Hi. Good. Cool. Awesome. Hello, everyone. Good to be with you. Wednesday. Didn't have to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning watching baseball this time. That was nice.
Are you sure you didn't stay up?
Oh, I stayed up. I just didn't have to stay up to watch baseball specifically. You know, that was a nice change. Courtesy of the 18-inning game that took place the night before. Last night, we just got a regular old 9-inning baseball game. Still good, still fun, still dramatic, still entertaining. But just the one game last night, not two games. Last night was an interesting night in sports, specifically in Charlotte sports, which we're going to get to. I should say Carolina sports at large, as we're going to get to. The Hornets lost, and they didn't just lose. They got thoroughly embarrassed by the Miami Heat last night, 144-117. The Golden Knights went to Raleigh, knocked off the Hurricanes last night, and that was UGLY. But there was indeed an alibi that we need to get to, because there's a problem going on with the Canes right now as well. It is hockey season. You're just going to have to live with that fact.
No, you were making an excuse, and there's no excuse. You just lost.
I mean, being down six starters is not an excuse. That's a reason. That's a reason. See, because this whole thing, and we're going to talk about coaching cliches later on in the show.
Listen, according to Next Man Up, you should be ready to go.
Yeah, and I got to tell you.
You're the only one I know who doesn't like Next Man Up.
No, I just think it's the dumbest thing in sports.
Because if Next Man Up doesn't work, then the team's over when the current crop of players is done playing.
If Patrick Mahomes goes down, are the Chiefs a Super Bowl favorite?
No, they're not. It's the dumbest thing in sports. You're not making any sense.
No, I'm not. It's the dumbest thing in sports.
You're trying to get me riled up,
and that's fair. But it's the dumbest thing in sports.
I sincerely don't understand.
If that argument is true, you know what that means? That means my local middle school should be able to beat NFL teams because, hey, next man up.
You are taking it in a direction that is not where it is.
Okay, so there is a line somewhere where next man up won't work anymore because the quality and talent.
Have any understanding
I am asking you to explain it to me.
All right, so if there is no such thing as next man up, then how are their new teams coming in? How are their new players coming in? Because that new player, that next set of players, those are the next man up. Those are absolutely the next
Correct.
Man up.
Correct, and you were looking at it from a macro scale instead of looking at it as this is the team that has to play tonight. This is the team that is on the bench right now. And if this team on the bench right now loses six starters, you don't pull six of the next guys up and think you're as good as another NHL MLB MLS team.
Coaching, general managers, owners, whatever. You bring someone in to be the next guy in case that guy goes down. Yes, quality is going to go down some, but the game plan doesn't change.
Oh, what was that? Sorry. Go back one sentence. It was what?
quality's going to go down.
Okay, because, that's all I need. Okay, because no, that's
because
it.
Because of preparation, because you don't get the same preparation if you're next man up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get the reps.
Mm-hmm.
As we well know, you don't get the reps because the ones get those, and then the twos have to come in with limited reps and do what they can. And some have excelled when they've been given that chance.
Some have.
Yeah.
Some have.
We're going to find out Sunday when Tyler Shuck gets in there.
We absolutely are.
But see, here's the difference, though. He was named starter earlier, so he gets all the number one reps. He is the next man up, though. And we're going to see if that next man up, how he's able to play.
I don't know how to explain the difference between Tyler Shuck replacing Spencer Rattler and the Carolina Hurricanes being down five starters. I don't know how to explain the difference. If that doesn't resonate, I don't know how to explain it.
So should they have forfeited?
No, that's not how sports works. Well, but the under, but the
it can happen
to look
lower
at
sports. Yeah, so to it is look how at, sports work, not that particular sport.
To look at what happened last night for the Carolina Hurricanes, for example, and I could point at the Hornets as well with Brandon Miller being down with a shoulder injury and a couple other guys banged up as well. I can point this out with certain teams that. When I look at a loss 6-3 at the crib last night, first time losing back-to-back games for the Canes last night, if I look at that and go, this is a team that is missing five guys that are either starters or second-line guys. And in hockey, second-line guys, is like they're just as important as the starters because they're getting just as much time on the ice. If I am looking at a team missing as many dudes as the Hurricanes are, it is fair to have the thought of, let's not panic about that particular loss, even if it was 6-3 on home ice. It was bad. You've now dropped two in a row for the first time on the season. It is an early season. You're only nine games in, but you are now 6-3 when you started off, what, 5-0 or whatever it was. And to say, we don't need to panic about it. But then you do have to look at it from the macro perspective, which is, do we get to the end of the year? Do we have the Hurricanes fighting for a playoff spot in the East? Do we look back at the beginning of the season when we were only nine games in and go, something went wrong? We had so many injuries stack up on top of each other all at the same time. You end up on a run. And again, it's only two losses in a row, three out of nine on the season, but if they start to stack up now and you find yourself playing from behind 75 games from now and you're fighting for a spot, then I think you have to be concerned. So I think it is fair in a spot like this to have some level of concern now about what the impact at the end of the season might be. I go back to our annual baseball conversation that we have when it is April 15th. And a team is a week and a half into the season. And you go, yeah, they're still gelling. They're still finding their chemistry. They're still trying to figure out who they are and what guys need to be in what spots in the lineup and what guys need to play what positions in the field and yada, yada, yada. But this is the spot in the season, the baseball equivalent. This is the spot in the season where I come on and there's a Tuesday night game against the Mets that the Braves go out there and punch themselves in their own groin and lose. And half of y'all go, Rob, it's April. Relax. There's 180 more games to go. Take a chill pill, bro. There's a lot of baseball. And I say, yeah. And how many teams missed out on a spot by a game? The Jays.
Congratulations on being right. The Braves did suck last year.
Yeah, the Braves did suck last year. I was
way to go, you.
Dead on accurate about that. That is 1,000% correct. But when I talk about those one games, when I'm ripping games in April, and you guys are going, it's one game, Rob. Like, relax. There's so many games left to go. The Toronto Blue Jays are currently playing in the World Series. They won last night over the LA Dodgers. That series is now tied at two games apiece. We're going to get into that, both because the Jays kind of found their groove last night. You do have to ask the question about an 18-inning hangover and why it was that seemed to impact the Dodgers more than it impacted the Blue Jays last night. But to talk about the importance of any given one game in baseball. The Blue Jays and the Yankees, when the season ended, had the same record. Had the same record. The Jays had a tiebreaker over the Yankees. Do you know what that got them? That got them the number one overall seed in the American League. That got the Yankees sent to a wild card role. It got the Jays playing every series in Toronto, not having to play a wild card game, but every other series, the DS, the CS, being played in Toronto. And that meant that in Game 7 against Seattle, a team that may or may not have been a better baseball team, they had to go to Seattle for Game 6 and 7. I don't know that the Jays go on the road to Seattle and win Game 6 and 7, but they were able to do it at home. That's why one game matters. That's why it is that I start to flip out in April when baseball teams, and I can do this about any other game too, right? Like, I was on BetMGM Tonight last night, and we were talking about the Indianapolis Colts. Brad Evans asked me, he's like, are you in on this team as a legitimate National Football League championship team? And the answer was, I wasn't until this past weekend, and now I am. And I am now because of the realization that Danny Dimes was never the guy that they brought in to be the franchise. They brought Danny Dimes in to be good enough, and that's exactly what he did. They didn't ask Danny Dimes to come in and be Patrick Mahomes. They didn't ask Danny Dimes to come in and be Josh Allen. They asked Danny Dimes to come in and say, hey, we built a pretty good team around here. We need a quarterback that is going to be consistent and talented, because Anthony Richardson's just not that guy. So they bring in Danny Dimes. They do not heap the weight of the franchise on him. They say, dude, we just want you to be the last piece of the puzzle. And it worked out. So I'm having this conversation with Brad Evans last night. And he said, are you in on the Colts as a legitimate National Football League Lombardi Trophy winning football team? And I said, yeah. And I said, one of the reasons why was, go look at the schedule that they have played so far. 7-1, and it's not a great 8-run schedule. Like, it's not a great 8 games that they've played. They have only played 2 or 3 teams that have winning records at this point. Denver was one. They won that game by a point. The Chargers were one. They lost that game. That's the only game they've lost. The Chargers won. They beat the Chargers, Justin Herbert. But as far as good quarterbacks they beat, that's pretty much the list. It's pretty much Bo Nix and Justin Herbert. They lost to the Rams, and that's kind of where they are right now. So I said, I'm interested in the second half of the season because the Chargers have the, I would say, probably 3rd or 4th most difficult second half of the schedule left out in front of them. But the take about the Colts for me was, I could see this AFC South, I could see this being a division that comes down to the wire. Because I look at a Jaguars team that we've seen good, we've seen bad, and it's just been a lack of consistency out of this team. They've kind of bounced back and forth. They won 3 in a row, they turn around and they lose 2 in a row, and they forget how to play offense. Now they get the Raiders and the Texans. That could be back-to-back wins. If they get back-to-back wins, which I think they will, now they're sitting at 6-3. They're right there in the back pocket. This might come down to the back half of the season and the difference between the Colts and the Jags is that, including having to play each other twice, the Jags have a dramatically easier schedule left ahead of them. They've got the Raiders. They've got the Texans. They've got the Cardinals. They've got the Titans twice. They've got the Jets, like, dramatically easier schedule. And this is why I put such an emphasis on early season games when there's a lot of, oh, let the guys find their flow. Let the guys find their time. The Colts, really hot out of the gate. This is, again, why I look back at the Jags losing to the Bengals in week 2. And granted, Joey B was there, different ball club. But again, that Bengal defense is booty cheeks, man. So this is why I look back at that game, because I go, if I'm Jacksonville, 5-2, when I'm looking at the Colts at 7-1, feels a hell of a lot better than 4-3. I go back to the Seahawks game. They lose that game 20-12. It was a winnable game. They left points on the field. It was very obvious. That's a game that I go, all right, 5-2. And if you stack both of those very winnable football contests and turn them both into wins, you're tied for the division. It may be a little hard to chase down. Again, Colts have a tougher schedule down the road. The Jags will get two chances to tag L's onto the back of it. So what happens if the Jags get both? If the Jags were to get two wins worth of credit right now over the Colts, what does that do? You're still a game out. You're still a game out. And you're a game out with a loss to the Bengals that you didn't need to take against a bad defense and a loss to the Seahawks that you didn't need to take. That's what I'm talking about. And this is why I get all up in arms about early season games. But I also attribute it to this is why when I see something happen like I did last night with the Hornets. Brandon Miller, this is problematic. Brandon Miller goes down. They get hammered by the Heat last night. He'll get rechecked for his shoulder injury tonight. They are back from a three-game roadie this evening. Well, I guess they got back last night. He'll be checked today. But Brandon Miller goes down. All of a sudden, the entire front five chemistry of that Hornets team goes to hell and back. I look at the Carolina Hurricanes, even more influential. They lost Shane Gottesbear last night. He's like the fifth or sixth significant role player that is down for Carolina. And they are stacking L's now. Two in a row, three of the last four. They're now stacking. And it is because of injury. That is not an excuse. That is a reason. It is because of the fact that the Canes could build, with their injured list, a better starting five than at least three or four teams in the NHL. That's how many guys are down. That's a reason, not an excuse. But the reason that you want to say right now, don't panic, it's early in the season, understandable, is the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays. The Blue Jays only got the one seed and only got to host every series and only got to host the ALCS against the Mariners and only get to go back to Toronto for at least a game six, because you got one more in LA. It is tonight. Then we got a day off Friday and Saturday. We head back to Toronto for 6 and 7. They only get to host 6 and 7 because they won that division, not even by a game. They were tied with the Yankees. They got a tie break. Like, not even by a game. This is why when I come on the show in April of baseball season, when I come on the show in October of hockey season or October of the NBA season, and I say, what happened last night was stupid, or what happened last night is a bad spot to take an L. Completely rational, that's what I'm looking for, completely rational that the Hurricanes lost the game last night with the number of injuries they have. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be concerned about it now. Because if you get to the spot late in the year, or even if you get into the postseason, if you are going on the road in the Eastern Conference semis or the Eastern Conference finals, if you're playing on the road because you drop 4 or 5 out of 6 early in the season because your team stacked injuries, puts you in a real, real difficult spot to try to change the narrative in the East that you're just always going to be a second-place team until the Florida Panthers implode. If you're the Hornets right now and you're looking at, you know, we could be a 500 ball club, and 500 is good enough to get you into the play-in tournament. If you're looking and going, we might be a 500 ball club, and we want to make sure that we're in the conversation in the East, which right now you are. Again, we're 4 games into the season. You're sitting at the 7 seed right now. That's a playing spot. If you want to stay in that position around 500, which is good enough to get in, these games matter right now. And I'm more concerned about the Hornets, because if you lose Brandon Miller for a couple of games, and all of a sudden, when you were on a heater right out of the gate, you lose one guy, all of a sudden you drop 2 games. And not just drop 2 games, but like you're getting your asses kicked. Hey, if you just lost to Miami, you lost to Miami. That's a decent ball club. You lose to Miami, that's one thing. You lost 144-117. All 5 starters in double digits, nobody more than 20. And it wouldn't have been that close, but LaMelo balled out last night. So this is why I make a big deal out of early season games. This is why nights like what happened last night. Charlotte FC at home last night. They are the only home team to lose in the first round of the MLS playoffs. There were 9 home playoff squads, including the wild card, 9 home playoff games up until last night. All 8 of them went the way of the home team until Charlotte FC lost 1-0 to New York City FC last night. And you can point at it with a couple of different factors that mattered in that game, but you're in a spot now where the next game's on the road at New York City FC. They have all the momentum in the world. They get a chance to stack the goal total in the act. Like, it's not great. And it's those little one-game mistakes that will kill your chance to hoist a trophy at the end of the year. All right, we got a lot to get to today on the program. We've got some developing news out of the NCAA that Greg Sankey said, hey, yo, we don't want you to allow athletes to allow to wager on professional games. I'll give you Greg Sankey's reason and why the NCAA has said we're going to pause that conversation. I want to ask the question, how did Lane Kiffin go from like a joke in college football to the most sought after candidate for everybody's head coaching job? I have a thought and I'll share that with you coming up. All that and more. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. 4 hours starts now. It's the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Malonzo, and you. Can I tell you what I think might be? Might be, because we don't know if it's going to happen yet or not. But what might be the most compelling college football storyline of this weekend? There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones. There's the consistency of some of the potential champions up front. Is Alabama, after a stressful game against South Carolina last week, will they be able to bounce back and look like a national championship team coming up this weekend? There is Memphis now in the top 25. Are they a bona fide P5 team? Vanderbilt and Texas, obviously. Miami at SMU. Miami now at number 10, and they have no more margin for error in the ACC. Houston, another one of those teams. They're at the crib against West Virginia. West Virginia is not a good football team, but they're a team that you take them lightly, they can beat you. Duke at Clemson. Like, there's a lot of great storylines in college football. And it's not a particularly heavy weekend of college football.
I'm trying to figure out how that last game matters.
But, Duke at Clemson?
Yeah.
I mean, it matters to Clemson fans.
I guess.
Your 3.5-point favorites at the crib, effectively saying that Las Vegas thinks you are a half a point better than Duke right now. And I got to tell you, I'm having a real hard time not taking Duke plus 3.5 right now. And we'll talk about that later on today or in the week. A lot of interesting storylines, despite the fact that it really is in a particularly heavy college football slate.
Wait, Ohio State plays Penn State. That's a big game.
Yeah, right? Game of the year of the century, without a doubt. It would have been before the season started. Here's a quick take on that. Ohio State minus 20.5. Yeah, I'm laying
really?
Those points.
That's,
yeah.
That's the thing.
That was my thing, not it. They, like, that's all.
They are coming off of a bye, too.
This year is good for college football teams. They're doing well off the byes. So we'll talk about that. But let me tell you what I think is the most interesting story of the year. Arch Manning is in concussion protocol. We do not know if Arch Manning is going to be available. Who do the Texas Longhorns have this weekend? Ladies and gentlemen, just like we all predicted coming into the year, you have top 10 Vanderbilt coming to the crib to take on the Longhorns in Austin, Texas.
Hasn't their quarterback been playing like 10 years, though?
Diego Pavia is 25 years old, which makes him in college football years 90. So, Diego Pavia, a dog. I feel how you want to feel about him being 25 years old playing college football. He's a dog. And then there's Clark Lee, noted football dude. And we're going to talk later in the show about the one quality that all of the great football coaches have and none of the bad ones do. And we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show. But the most interesting narrative to me of this week in college football. Arch Manning, in concussion protocol, may not be available for the Texas Longhorns when they host the Vanderbilt Commodores coming up this weekend. And I pointed out to Brad Evans last night on BetMGM Tonight that, and I genuinely was blown away by this, when it comes to havoc plays created by defensive lines. That is, quarterbacks who are rushed with less than 2.5 seconds to throw. These are defensive lines that get to the quarterback and disrupt the passing attack. Vanderbilt creates more havoc plays on the across, credited to the defensive line. Vanderbilt creates more havoc plays from their defensive line than all but one other Southeastern Conference football team right now. They are a top 10 team nationally in havoc plays created by the defensive line. Their defensive line is good, and nobody talks about it, which is understandable. We're all dialed in on Clark Lee. We're all dialed in on Diego Pavia. We're all dialed in on Vandy's ability to run the football. That's all great. Their defensive line is as big, if not a bigger reason, that they win than anything that's not Diego Pavia and Clark Lee offensively. Arch Manning in concussion protocol may not be able to play, which means that Matthew Caldwell might be the starter for the Texas Longhorns this weekend.
Next man up. He's probably pretty good.
Next man up. Now,
for Texas, I mean, you know.
Here's where I kind of
probably
step
like
away.
A five-star or something, wouldn't he be?
The hell knows? Texas. Like, this is the most unknown SEC starting quarterback coming up this weekend. So, what is interesting about this to me, and this is where I am going to step away to some degree from the conversation that we had to open the show. I get genuinely disgusted with the whole concept of next man up. Like, oh, if you lose your superstar, next guy just step in and do that. No, that's not how it works. That's why that guy is a superstar. Hell, doesn't even matter if they're a superstar. There's a reason that guy's the starter, because he's better than the guy who's not the starter. Or, as long as your head coach doesn't suck at his job, you would like to think that across 22 positions on a football field, the guy that is X1 is going to be better than the guy who is same position number two.
Could be nepotism. Could be
sure.
NIL deals.
Sure.
Could be
all of that. All of that still reflects on, for whatever reason,
you could have a really famous name.
Maybe so. All of that still reflects on that for some reason, no matter what the reason is, for some reason, your head coach has allowed a guy who is not as good as another guy to go play football over the guy that's better than him. I would like to think that that's not often the case. I'm not saying never, but not often the case. So, Matthew Caldwell may get the start for Texas this weekend. Matthew Caldwell is kind of interesting to me. Interesting in that Matthew Caldwell has played some games in his collegiate career so far. Matthew Caldwell has played so far. I have statistics dating back to 2021. He's been in the game a minute. This is a 6'4", 212-pound senior, redshirt senior, from Auburn, Alabama. He played games at Jacksonville State in 2021, only threw 30 passes. He played two seasons for Gardner-Webb. He threw 55 passes in 2022, 177 in 2023. Last year, he quarterbacked for the Troy Trojans, where he threw 223 passes. Just numbers for you, 63.2% completion percentage for 1,068 yards on the season. He threw 13 touchdowns to 8 picks.
He was a starter on all those places.
Was a starter for Troy. Okay. He was not a starter at Jayville State. Not a starter in 22 for Gardner-Webb. Was in 23 and then was for Troy before he transferred to Texas. Effectively, Texas needed some depth in this game. Like, Texas needed a little bit of depth. So, here is the question that I'm very curious about. And I want to be clear, I don't think that this is going to be the case. And I want to take a moment to point out that for all the criticism, as valid as it has been, of Arch Manning, of which there's a lot, I do have to also point out, Texas's offensive line is bad. It's bad. It's not supposed to be bad. They got some guys that were supposed to be dogs. We were, by we, I mean the media, and fans, I guess, we were just as wrong about Texas's offensive line as we were about Arch Manning himself. And by we, I mean y'all, because I wasn't wrong about Arch Manning, neither was Lonzo. Both of us said, why are we crowning this guy the king of college football when he ain't done a damn thing yet? The offensive line is bad. The wide receivers are not Matthew Golden. You don't really have, there's a lot going wrong for Texas. But here's my question. We can bury Arch Manning for inconsistent play, because we've seen some spark out of the kid. We can bury him for inconsistent play and acknowledge that the offensive line is bad and the wide receivers just aren't there. But here is what I am very curious about. What happens if Matthew Caldwell steps in and Texas's offense takes off? What happens if the offensive line, the wide receivers, respond to Matthew Caldwell? What happens? And again, I don't think this is necessarily going to happen, because Matthew Caldwell has never played anywhere close to this level of football. Matthew Caldwell, as far as experience goes, has played a Power 4 team in a competitive way one time. He got thrown into the game against Mississippi State after Arch went down to a concussion. Hey, quick question. Anybody watch that game last week? What happened after Matthew Caldwell got thrown into the game down 17 in the fourth quarter?
Miraculous comeback and Texas wins.
Overtime victory. Matthew Caldwell quarterbacked them to a win over Mississippi State. So here is my question. What is the reaction if Matthew Caldwell quarterbacks the Texas Longhorns to a win over Vanderbilt? Do we look at this and say, well, hey, man, like, Vanderbilt was on the road, and come on, Rob, you were overestimating the Doors the whole time, and people have been blowing smoke at Vandy that wasn't deserved. At the end of the day, they're still little old Vandy. Or do we look at this and do we go, maybe that thing that we were kind of talking and joking about a minute ago, about maybe there's some reasons that head coaches are playing guys over other guys they shouldn't be playing over for reasons that aren't football related?
I wasn't entirely joking, but yeah.
Sure. Is there a point that we look at this and go, maybe Sark got it way wrong? Maybe he got it way wrong. I don't know. The most compelling storyline in the game for me might not even happen. But if Arch can't go out of concussion protocol and Matthew Caldwell steps in, if the Longhorns beat the Commodores on Saturday, There's going to be a real interesting discussion, I think, about Steve Sarkisian to be had down the stretch. A guy that I am already not sold on as the next big thing in college football. All right, we'll talk more college football when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So the NCAA Division I board of something was scheduled to meet early next week. And they were going to go through a number of potential rule changes and policy changes and updates and yada, yada, yada. And one of the ones that was going to be discussed was changing a rule that would allow college athletes and employees of college athletic departments to gamble on professional sports. Effectively, you're not pros. You can gamble on pro sports. And that is not a decision that set well with a lot of people. One of those people was Greg Sankey. Now, Greg Sankey is not alone. There are other people that have spoken out about this as well. But Greg Sankey is clearly the most powerful of that group. I know that Pat Narduzzi at Pitt spoke out as well. There is a group of people in college sports that have said that they do not want college athletes and athletic department employees to be allowed to gamble on professional sports. But Greg Sankey is easily the most powerful, predominantly because Greg Sankey is, and I say this as a statement, the most powerful man in college athletics. I think he is more powerful than Charlie Baker, president of the NCAA. I think he is more powerful than Rich Clark, executive director of the College Football Playoff Committee. I think Greg Sankey is the most powerful man in sports. And a very close second is Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten. So Greg Sankey last week sent out earlier this week, sent out a memo to Charlie Baker, but it was made public, requesting that the NCAA do not approve of the rule change. Right now, college athletes and employees of college athletic departments are not allowed to wager on sports at the college or professional level. The rule change proposed was going to allow athletes and athletic department employees to gamble, but only on pro sports. Obviously, they would not be permitted to gamble on college athletics, and there are other rules that are attached to that rule as well. Basically, everything that is going on right now in the NBA with their gambling probe, which we're going to get to later on, because there was a very interesting article written on ESPN earlier this week that I wanted to circle back around to. They can't do that. Can't gamble on the sport. Can't provide confidential information to bettors outside of it. It is, effectively, you can't do insider trading and you can't gamble on the sport. So Greg Sankey sent out a memo to Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, and said, we don't want that rule to change. We would like it to stay the way it is right now. And there is a debate ongoing about whether the purpose of Greg Sankey's email was to say so that we can discuss and debate it further, or just outright, we don't want athletes and employees to be able to gamble at all, point blank, end of conversation. Now, this hits interesting to me for two reasons. And again, every time that we have a gambling story, I feel compelled and obligated to some degree to issue a bit of a disclaimer. That disclaimer being that, number one, I gamble on sports. I'm not a big timer. I'm a beer better is what I call myself on the network. I'm a beer better. I'm betting 5-10s. But I enjoy it. It's fun for me, A. And B, I've made a lot of money by being a voice in the sports wagertainment community. I spent 4 years hosting a nationally syndicated sports gambling show. I still fill in on national syndicated sports gambling shows. I'll be back in Saturday noon to 4 with PJ Glasser doing exactly that. I have always been, well, not always, but certainly over the past 5-6 years, I have both gambled and made money promoting it effectively. So I come from this from a perspective of, I think it's fine. I think it's like any other vice in these great United States of America. I understand that there are people who struggle with it. I will always, 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 always endorse, suggest, sometimes demand that if you have a struggle with gambling, that you get the help you need to stop doing it. But much like any other vice, the fact that other people struggle with it does not mean that it should be taken away from people who don't struggle with it but enjoy it recreationally or make money off of it. So, I don't have an issue with college athletes and athletic department employees being able to gamble on professional sports, not on college sports. Just like I don't have a problem with NBA players gambling on baseball or football games, but not on NBA games. And there is only one thing that I very much would like, which is that I would like a system of A, accountability, and B, responsibility. I would love a system. And I'm a big dummy, so I don't know what this system looks like. I would be happy to sit down and like talk it out. I don't know what this system looks like. I just know I want the system. A system where if athletes and employees want to gamble, cool, but like you just got to make it known that you're gambling and what you're gambling on. Let's do what we can to ensure that there is some level of accountability that allows people to do this thing, but do it in a way that adheres to the integrity of the game itself. That's not really the part of the conversation that is interesting to me, because I know there's a huge chunk of you that are just anti-gambling, point blank, period. I know that there is a significant portion of you that believes that gambling should be like a 21 and up activity. Honestly, I'd be willing to have that conversation. I know that there are many of you that say, hey, if you want to gamble, don't play college football or don't play pro football or basketball or whatever. But if you're involved in sports, you shouldn't be able to gamble on sports. I get it. I'm good with that. If you want to have that conversation, whatever. None of that's the story. We can have all the conversations in the world about systems and algorithms and accountability, responsibility, discipline, whatever. What I find interesting about this story is the NCAA announced a number of weeks ago that they were working towards a reality where there would be a system where college athletes and employees were indeed able to gamble on pro sports. And it was fine. It was fine. Like, that was just a thing that was going to happen. And then Greg Sankey sent one email. Greg Sankey sent one email. And when he sent out that one email, the NCAA could not have backtracked faster from the decision they made. Now, just so we have the full discourse on the table, I do want to be clear that the NCAA did not cancel that vote. They are delaying that vote. They could have had that vote early next week. They had one other option, and this is a rarely used rule on the NCAA Division I committee. If there is a certain trigger point where a rule does not have 75% of the committee members' approval, then that vote can be delayed for X amount of time for further discussion and debate. And again, so that we're clear, the vote was for next week, not a guaranteed approval or passage, just the vote. But the vote itself was scheduled for early next week. However, it did not have the amount of support it needed to force the vote on the timeline. Because it didn't have that support, the NCAA, who still could have had the vote anyway and was planning on doing so, to the best of my understanding, the NCAA decided, since it doesn't have the support and it can trigger this fair or rarely used rule, we will push the vote back to November 22nd. And that will allow everybody to have the time to state their objections, state their support, have the debate and the discussion about is this good, is this bad, is this okay, whatever. But it took Greg Sankey one email to make that happen. Because this rule could have been invoked last week, the week before. This rule could have been invoked at any point that they knew that this vote was upcoming. But it did not happen until Greg Sankey said, the SEC, would like this vote to go away. There is but one take to this. It is not shocking. It is not surprising. It is not new. It is not controversial. The only thing that I wanted to point out here was there were plenty of people opposed to the vote, or at least the rule change. Plenty of people. And that wasn't enough to trigger the delay. One email from Greg Sankey was, if you want to know who the ultimate power of college football is, you don't need to look any further than this scenario and this situation. If you want to know who is truly the decision maker and the power broker in college football, here is your answer. Because there have been plenty of coaches who have said over the past couple of weeks, this is a dumb thing. We don't want it to happen. There have been plenty of athletic department folks over the past couple of weeks that have said, this is a dumb thing. We don't want it to happen. There have been plenty of college football fans who have said, this is a dumb thing and we don't want it to happen. And none of that was enough to delay the vote. But one email from Greg Sankey was,
do you think that possibly what happened last week has anything to do with this? With the arrests and everything, and the fact that the five families are involved in sports, and if you allow it, it makes it easier to cover if some college student decides they want to do that?
It is possible, because I do think that every organization right now is in CYA mode, right? Like, every organization is like, okay, we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to protect the integrity from the people within the inside of the organization, for sure. I think the NBA, Adam Silver was on TV doing an interview like two nights ago. I'll play the audio later. It was awkward as hell with him trying to answer questions about accountability. I think that is maybe a possibility. But at the same time, this is a spot that I look at and I go, this isn't Terry Rozier making bets on Terry Rozier. This isn't Terry Rozier making bets on his own props, his overs and unders. This isn't NBA players making bets on NBA players. This is 10,000%. Hey, man, like we think these adult men, and I am willing to label any person that is eligible by this country to pick up a weapon and go fight in a war, you better consider that an adult.
I agree with you there.
So this is saying that adults do or do not have the right to gamble on things that they're not a part of. They're not professional athletes. They're not in the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the MLS, whatever, the NHL. They're not in that. So do they have the right to gamble on things? Now, again, the problem that you have with college football is that it is not an employment entity. It may be one day, but it's not right now. Not legally defined that way, which means that they are going to have, and this is where most of these lawsuits they're losing are coming from, they are going to have a difficult time saying, you cannot be a part of us if you do this. Which is why, again, so many student athletes are filing lawsuits and winning most of them. The NFL is a place of employment. They can say, you're not allowed to gamble at all. And if gambling means so much to you, cool, but you don't work here. The boss can walk down the hall right now, and he can lay down, in my new contract, he can lay down terms of employment. Rob Brown, as long as you work here, you may not do X, Y, and Z. He could theoretically put a clause in my contract that says you are not allowed to gamble on sports as long as you work here. And I get to decide, do I want to work here more or do I want to gamble on sports more? But college athletics is not legally a place of employment. So their ability to ban their, this is, even if they say no, if any kid wants to sue for the right to be able to gamble on pro sports, they can, they will, and they'll probably win it. All of that is all hypotheticals I'm not worried about. I just like to use this to once again make the point that you and me, we're powerless when it comes to the decisions and the progress and the forward trajectory of college football. We're powerless. We can say, we can yell, we want this, we don't want that, whatever. We are ultimately powerless. At the end of the day, there are two people in the world that get to decide what happens with college football. Greg Sankey is one of them, and to a lesser extent, Tony Petitti is the other one. Everybody else is TV executives, and even they and Charlie Baker are listening to what Sankey and Petitti want to happen for the betterment of their conferences. That's why I believe super conferences are like probably now closer than I thought they were 8 months ago. All right, you know what else is closer than I thought it was 8 minutes ago? A sports flash.
Tony Petitti is not going to be happy with your blatant disrespect. That's all I'm saying.
Does that mean he's winning a Super Bowl?
Toronto has tied up the World Series at 2 games apiece with a 6-2 win over Los Angeles in Game 4. Shane Bieber went 5.1 innings with 4 hits and 1 run allowed, outdueling Shohei Ohtani 6 innings with 6 hits and 4 runs surrendered. Toronto's offense racked up 11 hits, including Vladimir Guerrero's 7th postseason home run. Charlotte FC dropped the opener of the best-of-3 series against the New York City FC, falling 1-0 at home. Alonso Martinez netted the match's lone goal in the 34th minute. The second game is Saturday at 3:30 in New York. The Charlotte Hornets are now 2-2 after a 144-117 blowout loss to Miami Heat. All 5 starters scored in double digits for the Hornets. Charlotte was missing Brandon Miller, whose shoulder injury will be evaluated today. Made it through without coughing. It is a miracle. Hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show is coming up next.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.